What about patients who are node positive but triple negative?
Yeah, I think the node positive, triple negative patient is perhaps the single greatest therapeutic challenge right now. And in terms of their management off study, I am offering those patients very aggressive treatment. I'm offering them our metronomic version of AC with G support, followed by weekly paclitaxel. Having said that, I have to say that I don't think this is enough, and I think this is a patient population that cries out for well-designed therapeutic trials. We know, for example, that these triple-negative patients appear to have a fairly high incidence of overexpression of the EGF receptor by immunohistochemistry. Does that mean that they might benefit from the administration of targeted therapy, such as either a monoclonal antibody or a small molecule directed at the EGF receptor? We simply don't know the answer. A second thing that is hinted at, especially by work out of the University of Chicago group, is that even women with sporadic triple-negative cancers, leaving the BCRA1 mutations out of it, even the ones with so-called sporadic triple-negative cancers appear to have a fairly high incidence of downregulation of BRCA1 function, meaning that their cancer cells are relatively sensitive to agents that produce DNA injury and require DNA repair, because remember, BRCA1 is a DNA repair-causing gene. So in cell lines, and these are data that were presented in San Antonio, in cell lines derived from such patients, the platinators appear to be quite active. It may be that triple-negative patients with high-risk disease should receive a platinator. It may be that those patients should receive an EGF receptor-targeted drug. But would I give them either one of these outside the context of a study right now? No. I think we're going to have to do studies to find out.
In terms of the metronomic AC, I know when we talked in the past, you had a lot of frustration about the fact that you had to use filgrastim instead of PEG, FDA, et cetera. And I think that still is the way the study is run.
Oh, yes.
But what do you do in your practice off study in terms of this decision between the two growth factors for those patients?
I am giving the patients continuous therapy with a GCSF and not with the PEG. For two reasons. The first is that I don't want to be in trouble with the FDA, and I've already had direct dialogue with the FDA, which was very unpleasant regarding their refusal to allow us to even do a phase 2 study. The second reason is that if you look at the toxicity profile of 0221, this is our current trial. Recall that in that study, the patients on the Q2-week therapies are receiving pegfilgrastim, okay? And the patients on the weekly daily therapy are perforce receiving GCSF because FDA would not permit the use of filgrastim. Intriguingly, there is a substantially higher incidence of grade 4 neutropenia in the patients receiving pegfilgrastim. Now, has that translated into something that's clinically meaningful in terms of febrile neutropenia or drug-related deaths? No. It has not, and for that reason, the study has not been modified. But I do find it intriguing and surprising that we do appear to be seeing a higher proportion of patients with grade 4 neutropenia on the day of planned treatment in the arms receiving pegfilgrastim.